Thank you, Joan. Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Don. Thank you, Robert. And all yins. So, Robert's last, actually I aspire to be cool enough to read something off my phone, so it's a generational thing, right? So you mentioned popular mechanics, so I'm going to start off with this poem, which is about a time when America was great, right? Wordless. My mother's magazines advised togetherness, advertised simplicity patterns for matching mother and daughter dresses, asked, can this marriage survive? I found popular science, admired the clear lines and cheerful mien of wordless workshop. Each month, a pointy-nosed hero, handy husband, briefly studied some problem, scattered towels, shattered glass. Not long perplexed, he set to work next with dowels and drill, assembled some device shown in panel 2, overhead in exploded view. Oh, Daddy. The men came home from Korea. The Rosenbergs were executed. The H-bomb flowered over the Pacific. We school children were issued dog tags. Gary McMahon told me, when you hear sirens, put your tag in your mouth in case your head is blown off. 12 drawings in the wordless workshop. In the last one, the wife, the child, the dog are happy. And I really do love the wordless workshop, by the way. Okay, I will read, there's no poem called City Bird in the book, but I'll read the cover poem, and the cover illustration was actually written for the poem. So, flamenco dancer in white. Oh my girl, city bird, when I see you stand above the others, head high, skirts high, I believe you're beautiful. You're ready to stamp your heels, swirl, leaving behind the gray day when you peck, where you peck, 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 head down on the gray street for bread. You're not pretty, city bird. You're like me, pure as city snow. Now spine straight, neck long, for a minute you belong above the others. Stretch upward, assured, fly. City bird, dance for us who keep our heads low. Dance more furiously than falling city snow. Okay, Joan asked me to read this one, so I'll read this one. I became a grandmother about 8 years ago, actually almost exactly 8 years ago. And it happened to be the 40th anniversary of the landing on the moon, which I believe in. Not everybody believes in, but I believe in. And this was addressed to my daughter-in-law. For Anne, pregnant on the anniversary of the moon landing. Oh, and probably most people under a certain age don't remember the photographs of the astronaut on the moon, which were black and white photographs, and because there's no air on the moon, it's also soundless. For Anne, pregnant on the anniversary of the moon landing. For 8 months, you've been a sea with an island continent, an imperial nation with one citizen tenderly held, not subject, but sovereign, though soon to be expelled. Meanwhile, to him according to his needs, you're his all, chamber and chamber orchestra, grocery, and let it be said, his chamber pot, though he's pure. a little given to piracy. He exacts tribute from your bones, taxes your blood, softens your joinery, so your hips waddle as you cradle him. In this ninth month, we begin to count our unhatched chick, finding it difficult to live in the moment when a coming moment will be so momentous, not forgetting the hen, your health, your strength. We count down toward the launch from the mothership, how the great valve of you will shudder and thrust him, our breath held for his awful balancing between the worlds. From the moony, secure, black and white one we've seen on a sonogram, where no wind blows, to our ruddy, noisy, and too bloody earth. Oh. Do I have to stop now? Okay, and I'm going to read another couple of relatively new ones. You have to be careful when you write poems because sometimes they come true. Anyway, this one is called Or by Lightning on the Golf Course, which I wrote last fall. Raking the first leaves, big brown pieces of torn open wrapping, I wish the oak would drop all its leaves at once, get it over with. Grumpy, because my ankle hurts from a fall, and I think there's permanent damage. Last month, my friend drew in the air a diagram of decline. Something, say cancer happens, a vertical drop. You recover, he drew a plateau, but you don't get back to the status quo. Next time, another drop, another level, and his finger described steps descending to that package still partly wrapped, the empty box. Years of hurt, when to let go. Some trees drop acorns, rain buckeyes, leaves, branches, shed bark, show fungus at the toe, die back from the top. Some go over intact, root ball in the air, corona who knows where, bring down wires, crash on a roof. Steps like the ones in Carpentras under the old synagogue, descending into water. Water so still, I almost stepped in. Oh, so. Okay, this poem is really locally sourced, and most of you probably know it's about a quarter of a mile away. A statue about a quarter of a mile away. Stand up, brother. When I saw the statue in front of the library, a darkie sitting at Stephen Foster's feet, I wanted to say, stand up, brother. Embarrassed that the man's bare toe was shiny from being rubbed, remembering how the neighborhood boys gathered around my father's used DeSoto to help him buff it, how they'd take a cloth to the hood ornament, a woman flying free, rub her breasts again and again. Embarrassing, like that picture in the high school history book, Liberty at the Barricades, torch in her hand, bare-breasted. Where would the man go if he stood up? What stand for? What should we put in his hands? Pitchfork, razor, carpenter's saw? Rifle to stand his ground? Major Domo's baton, trumpet. A trumpet, yes, not to lead a funeral parade, but to shake barricades, make them fall like Jericho's walls. A paintbrush, stethoscope, iPad. Or a woman's hand, a child's, confiding, giving confidence. I want Stephen Foster to come down off the pedestal to shake his hand. Okay, and then for a
change of pace, you see on the bio, it says that I had a play produced in March, and many of you were kind enough to come. And I'm going to read a monologue from that play, and that's the end of it. And you have to use your negative capability, because the person speaking is a passionate and luminous teenager who has had a baby and is leaving it. She's talking to the baby. "You're not mine. No, I could have got rid of you, had you scooped out of me, scraped away the way I can scrape a blob of paint off a canvas with a palette knife. But I'm stubborn. I kept going. I got sick. I stood on the bus with my coat gaping open. You left your marks on me like tattoos, blue veins, stretch marks. And I left my marks on you, I guess. My crying, my laughing, my binges, my breaths in and out, stitched into the inside of you like tree rings. You're stuck with those. You're stuck with hair like mine. But you're not mine. Because I'm not yours. I'm going to be my own. I want to do everything and anything. I want to paint the junk on the sidewalk, have a boyfriend who'll make a sculpture of me naked, 10 feet high, put it up in our front yard. Or I'll make a sculpture of him, gleaming like a beer can in the weeds. He'll have an accent nobody from here will understand. He'll leave his woman for me. Maybe I'll go to New Orleans, live in a shotgun shack, talk Creole, eat stuff my mother thinks is dirty. I want to get there, not stay here, not go to community college or any college, hang out with musicians who shoot up between sets, walk down the street really slow and have people on their porches call, 'Darling, darling, come here, darling, come on in.' Offer me drinks that are green or red, and me walking slow, slow, fanning myself to the graveyard, where I'll meet a man in a top hat, a woman selling flowers, or herself. They'll be my real family. So I have to travel light. I was brought up on miseries and politeness, meaning well, and I'm not going to mean well. I'm not going to bring you up on misery. I'm leaving. I'm not going to lie to you. Someone else may, but I'm going to find the truth, tell the truth, paint the truth, eat and drink the truth. Always. Thank you."